Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi again, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to Talking Up Music Education from Bands of America Music for All Grand Nationals in Indianapolis. This is our fourth that we've done today, and we're just delighted to be here from Grand Nationals. And we've told some very interesting stories today from student perspectives, from band directors' perspectives, from business person in the community, and of course, the executive director or the president of Music for All shared some wonderful insight. And now we're kind of coming full circle and talking to parents and community support for the wonderful opportunities that are provided through music education and, of course, through this enterprise called Music for All. So I'm just delighted to have with us here Patrick John Hughes, who is a parent of a Bands of America Music for All student. How many years ago, Patrick?
Well, he graduated from high school in 2006.
And so you were on the field with him that year?
I was on the field with him in his college years from 2006 through 2010, five seasons. That's with great. Him in the marching band.
Well, we're going to get to the details of that story, but I'd also want to introduce Greg Hooper, who is now the winner this year of the Patrick John Hughes Award, which was named for one guest, an award named for Patrick John Hughes. And Greg, you are the winner. And how long have you been associated with Music for All Bands of America?
Somewhere around 20 years. We started about 2006 as a BOA competing band, and I was president of the Booster Club at that time. Mm-hmm. So we came in contact with it then.
That's great. So we want to understand the legacy of this award. So let's go back and talk a little bit about your story, Patrick. Why you've inspired this organization to establish this award in your name. What happened in your life that you became sort of someone that really represents the love, the sacrifice, the commitment that happens to us when our children get committed to get involved with music education?
Well, I can't even begin to tell you how humbled I am to have an award named after me of all the honors and the wonderful things I've gotten to do in my 56 years of life. To have that happen to me is truly incredible. Never expected it. And it's just humbling and very honorable. The story is, I'll try to be as brief as I can. I'm the parent of three sons. My oldest son was born with some physical anomalies. He was born blind and also with some disabilities that makes him a user of a wheelchair for mobility. I was a musician. Music education is a huge part of my life. I was in the University of Louisville's School of Music Preparatory Department starting as a second grader, studying Suzuki violin and piano, and pursued that for many, many years through high school and through college. But my oldest son, he also has a gift for music, which we discovered very early at the age of 9 months. He could play simple nursery rhymes on the piano back to us, despite the fact that he was blind and, of course, seated at the piano anyway. But he had this natural gift and love of music. And that, for me, all those years of playing and mom pushing me to my lessons and making sure I stayed involved, it all kind of came full circle when I saw that gift in my son and knew that, okay, we're not going to play baseball or football together, but we're going to do music together. And of course, the award eventually came, the Patrick John Hughes Booster Award eventually came as a result of me joining marching band in college with my son. He wanted to be in the University of Louisville's marching band, 220 members, and he needed somebody to push him in his wheelchair through the formations. And the band director was very much for it, and my son was very much for it. So how could I say no?
And what was his instrument at the time?
Patrick was a trumpet player.
So he excelled in trumpet enough to be in the university marching band.
Phenomenal trumpet
and,
player.
And he needed a pair of legs.
He needed a pusher.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. and I was blessed to be physically able to do it, to have a work schedule that allowed it to happen, and so many other things.
Mm-hmm. And it became a national story, as I recall. I think many of us met you for the first time,
right,
welling up, hearing that story and watching that story.
I cried too watching that story. Right. I sure did.
And then you were acknowledged then by Bands of America, and I remember. We were here for that moment when you were acknowledged on the field. I was, our organization was supporting and was here. So it means a great deal to meet you. And, you know, you inspired many, 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 well, hundreds, thousands of people by that story.
Thank you.
You know, what happens when we give an inch, we're given a mile in return.
Yeah, right? it all happened, you know, it just happened on its own. There was no master plan from me. It just all developed. I had the opportunity to be on the field with my son, and the rest just all took care of itself.
And I think it looked like you were getting quite a workout.
Well, it was.
I mean, you didn't have to go to the gym those years, I would think.
No,
right?
Absolutely not. Being on the band field, especially during camp, which was, you know, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 6 days a week, and then some time on Sundays also. Yeah, I didn't need gym time. I had field time.
Yeah,
with
it was
my
quite something. So then Bands of America then was so inspired by that. You came here. What year did you get the award here, and they named the award for you?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. I'm going to guess 2008.
Yeah, it feels about right to me, too, about almost 10 years ago.
I should know that, but, you know, as I get older, there's less space for storage, so you got to kind of... You know,
what matters is that it's happened, not how long ago. I say that more and more myself. Right? Well, that's wonderful. And I think it's so wonderful that Music for All continues to share your story, because it's the kind of the essence of support for music education and for support for one's child and one's community. Which, Greg, we want to hear more about your wonderful support for your children in various programs, and also your nieces and nephew, so that you nurtured through a program and then be so inspired by Bands of America to actually keep contributing and giving more to the organization. Tell us about your family's experience and your experience.
Well, my story starts a little different. In 1995, I lost most of my sight. Because of that, my company retired me out and I was at home. Being a young man, we did not want to just sit around the house and watch TV for the rest of our lives. So my oldest had started McEachern High School, which is where we're from. And during that period of time, the Band Boosters was a group of folks that I went to high school with. I was a member of this band myself back in the 70s. They inspired me to come and help load the truck and do other things around the school. And over in the period of time for the next 3 to 4 years, membership in the Booster Club was more than just coming to a meeting, paying your dues, and going home at the end of the night. It became a task of trying to get these 200 young people onto a field, inspiring them to do the best job that they can and doing the most to support that throughout the years. In 95, when I lost my sight, it was one of those that a purpose in my life had to come around. So that purpose was to go back to that group and try to do as much as I could for it, so that my wife did not want me around the house just sulling around for the next few years. Mm-hmm. So as a team together, we went to the school and started to work with the Booster Club on a day-to-day basis. Over the next 20 years, we averaged somewhere around 2,000, 2,500 hours a year, which is almost a full-time
job.
It's
a full-time position.
Yes, working with the Booster Club, both as officers and committee chairs and things of that nature over the next few years. Mm-hmm. Our children were staggered just right to where we were in the program for almost 24 years now. Throughout those 24 years, there have been instances where music education in our part of the country was challenged as a financial burden on the county and things of that nature. And the Boosters in all of our county has 16 high schools. And during that challenge, we all inundated the governor's office with faxes and calls and things of that nature, to the point where they called us in. I myself was fortunate enough to be one of those people, into the governor's office to try to rewrite that part of the bill that was coming out in education that would have eliminated those middle school positions, which in ultimately would have affected our high school positions. We were successful. I mean, we had 30,000 people respond to this in our area, and 30,000 people will get some attention. So through that, it was just one of many opportunities we had to try to save the school programs and the music programs in Cobb County, where we are from. That in itself was gratifying, but it's nothing like watching these kids come off a field or off of a stage or any of those type things that just makes your heart sing every time that they do it. Even though I can't see what they are doing, I can't see a good program when it's marched correctly out there, I don't have to.
Right.
I hear these kids come off the field. All I have to do is listen to them, and I can tell you what a performance is like before they ever get back to the truck.
I have to say, I'm just thrilled to meet you, because we were tracking very closely the activities in Cobb County for a long time. We have a program at the NAM Foundation called the Best Communities for Music Education, which acknowledges regions of the countries and districts in the country that are supporting music education and are, you know, providing exemplary experiences for students to flourish in these programs. And for years, Cobb County qualified for that award. And then it went through this rocky period where it was, it was threatening that the program was going to lose some of its support. And then we contacted, you know, as a national organization, we contacted some individuals, hopefully at the same time you were contacting them.
Yes.
Though we were not, didn't know each other coordinating. And I remember sitting down with someone and saying, this is one of the most important music education programs in America.
Absolutely.
How can you be hollowing it out? And I'm just so grateful. And, you know, and we know we're not so unrealistic to know that school districts and communities don't have ebbs and flows of financial pressures and other serious things that happen in their environments that, you know, create the pressure on the finances. You were effective, and you were, you know, effective as an advocate to, and you did the work.
It wasn't an individual type thing as much as a team effort from the band directors in Cobb County, some of the parents in Cobb County, and also our administration jumping in there and realizing that music education is one of the most important things that we have in this country. We produced better kids through it. We also enhance what they will do in their future through the music education that we try to provide for them.
So obviously, I'm getting to end my day next to two remarkable gentlemen that really believe in what the NAM Foundation is standing for and working for. I'd love to hear from both of you as fathers and members of your community. What do you believe that our communities need to do to support music education? Obviously, Greg, you've worked with a school district very closely over these years in the county. You probably heard, now we really can't afford it for XYZ reasons. How do we keep convincing our districts to support music education the way it needs to be supported?
Well, it has to start at the level of the parents themselves. We have to provide some type of a answer for our administration, our school superintendents, and our commissioners around our area, that our school districts have to realize that music education is not one of those items that can go by the wayside. We hear all kinds of things about how the environment in music and music education provides a child with a better opportunity to succeed later in life, both through the education in the on the field itself, by discipline, hard work ethics and things of that nature, but also in the classroom where they learn skills that they will value for the rest of their life. I know myself as a band student back in the 70s, I have kept those values through all the way to now that I'm 60 years old, and I want my children to also have those values for the rest of their life. So it was a no-brainer for me. My kids were going to be part of that music program, and now that they're young adults, I see that we were successful in that. And the parents in our area have to realize that they have to voice what they believe in, both through their local districts and also nationally with NAM. It's one of those important things that we have to do as parents. Some will sit by the wayside and say, I do not have time to do it. Well, this is not one of those things that we do not have time to do. We have to value these programs and still fund these programs at the county level and even at the state level. We can't let our states try to cut that funding at this point in time. It's just something we can't do.
And we have to be a voice for that, right? We have to.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, you cannot just sit back. You have to call somebody or you have to send an email to somebody that's important enough to understand what we are doing out there.
Or invite every state elected official to a band concert somewhere. I mean, there's
one of the things that we do. We invite all of those folks to every event.
Every mayor of every town in America needs to come to a high school band concert.
The mayor of Powder Springs comes to all of our events over the last few years. Lately, it's been kind of difficult for him to be there, but there has been many, many a times where we would even provide transportation to get him there.
And I do believe that where there are successful programs, the mayors are going. I mean, I think they go hand in glove. But it has what you're saying and what you're reflecting on has a lot to do with the core work of the NAMP Foundation and the Support Music Coalition. That is a program of the NAMP Foundation. You know, we all say we care a lot about music education, but again, we're trying to coach and train and provide resources to actually do something. Be that advocate on the line, be an advocate leader, just convene, you know, create some kind of pushback when there's a threat or a concern. So.
And we have to be aware of these pushbacks when they want to cut funding. We have to watch what their elected officials are doing. And that was one of the reasons that in the program that was going to be cut in Georgia, somebody gave us a call.
Right.
And it was just that simple. And then we reacted from there. And in 48 hours, we had called together almost 35,000 parents in 48 hours.
Yes. And we were watching that from the outside. And boy, how great it is to meet you and know the force that were happening on the ground there. You know, they say good music education advocacy is a wellness program, not a trip to the emergency room.
That's a very true statement.
If you stay on top of it. Well, Mr. Hughes, your story of your support for your son, he obviously started before college, right? He started playing. How long did he play trumpet?
He started trumpet. Ironically, as we're talking about music education, he started playing trumpet as a fourth grader at his elementary school.
Which is exactly the right time to start.
As fourth graders in Jefferson County Public Schools in Louisville, where we're from, you had to start either chorus or band or orchestra. And there were several instruments he thought about doing, but the trumpet fit him well. And he liked to play trumpet, and he just grew with it so warmly and so fondly. And his band director, his middle school band director, was phenomenal when he got to sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. Patrick became his section leader. Mm-hmm. And it was remarkable to watch a young man with no vision hit all the downbeats and, you know, always be the one that was ready on the cues and so on and so forth, because he just loved music. And thank God that music was available in his school system. I hear Mr. Hooper's stories of bringing 35,000 people together to the governor's office to coordinate that they don't cut programs for music education. And that, to me, is just phenomenal. And that's a lot of votes. And that's how you reach those people.
A lot of constituents.
So that's how you reach those people who are considering, you know, what programs to keep and what programs to cut. And hats off to you for doing that. I was a great advocate for my son. And as Mr. Hooper said, it's very important that each parent who has a child who loves music, or the parent loves music, they have to be their child's greatest advocate. And it starts at home, and then it just grows and multiplies the more people that get involved and pitch for music education in schools.
Well, and I would say that both of you now, your children are out of the public school environment and are on their way to other parts of their lives. And I say, too, that children that have this opportunity, we need to advocate for the children who don't have this opportunity.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, there are pockets in our country, mostly in the urban areas, surrounded by really robust suburban areas that have these, you know, incredibly legendary programs, but right. And that's why I have great, really commend what Music for All is doing with the city of Indianapolis. It's really digging into the need of an urban community right where they're located and saying, this has to grow equal to than all the other school districts that are coming from all over the country with these emblematic programs. We need to support mm-hmm. their local community, and I think that's really important too.
Well, BOA, on Wednesday night before this event starts, invites the Indianapolis schools to come over and march on this field here at
which is their neighborhood.
Absolutely. Right. And it's a field that they probably in a regular environment would not get to come and perform at. Mm-hmm. And they get to watch each other during that performance. And it's inspiring to watch these kids come off the field, doing something that they love to do. Right. And to do it in front of their peers is even more important.
Right. And I think it's been very inspiring for us to see the community of music education work for their own, but also work in places where we know we really do want it to grow because it can solve the larger social problems and help solve the larger social problems and build community and build opportunity for these young people. So that's been really, really part of it as well. And I thank you for that. Patrick, you were also a musician as part of your life.
I grew up as a musician. My dad was a great whistler.
Oh,
I can still as a little, as an older man, I can remember hearing Dad whistle. And I always wondered if Dad was very poor growing up. And I wondered if maybe he had the gift of music, but it was just undeveloped in him. Because right. my poor mom, who I love so dearly, not really so much with the singing.
Right, right. Or the whistling.
Yeah.
Right.
But Dad, I think, had the gift. I don't know. But however, it came through me as the youngest of five siblings. I could play piano as a three-year-old. I could play the songs that I heard my older brothers and sisters practicing and working on for their lessons. And then so obviously Mom saw that and nurtured that and got me in programs where I could help develop that gift. Mm-hmm. And thankfully she did. And then when always kind of wondering what I would do with that gift, when my oldest son was born, it was like, wow. Here is why I have that gift to share with my son. And it was just a wonderful thing to do music with Patrick. And it still is. We still play together. I will
play
piano.
So what is your instrument?
I majored in violin.
Okay.
I started on piano when I was very young, just like Patrick. But then for me, it was second grade. I took up the violin. And that was my major in college. I minored in piano. Patrick, of course, went to trumpet as a fourth grader. But now today, he's 29 years old. And we play weddings and church events and things, and I'll play piano while he plays trumpet, and he'll play piano while I play violin, and it's just a wonderful thing to continue to share with my son.
But you don't have to worry about 8 per 5.
I don't have to worry about
8 per 5. 8 steps per 5 yards.
No,
they gave me.
You can tell
I'm
without
saying
me
it
even
the wrong
answer,
way.
Without me
looking
even
at
answering.
James across the room.
Without me
eight,
even answering.
8 steps and.
8 to 5.
8 to 5. I was right.
I got a little bit of a pass on the steps,
right.
pushing the wheelchair and the marching band. But it was funny as I get older, and Dr. Byrne, who was the band director at the time my son was in marching band at Louisville, he shares more and more stories with me about what he did to make our participation in the band possible. 220 kids in a big stadium. And he said he wrote the the diagrams where they put the kids in the certain, whatever those are.
The field charts.
He did the charts. He'd always try to have me near the end of a line whenever the formations were moving so that if something malfunctioned with the wheelchair, I wouldn't be right in the heart of the action and mess all the lines up.
Right.
And he shared that with me. And I thought, come on, Greg, surely you had a little more faith in me than that. And of course, as the years went on, he did.
But somehow I would imagine, I'm imagining this now, so if I'm making it up, you can just kick me under the table. But somehow I imagine that you were kind of everybody's dad in that band. I bet they loved having you there.
I don't know. I'm sure there are many parents who would love to be on the field with their child
as I was.
But
I think there were many, many band students on that field that just loved knowing that there was a dad there. I
always wondered how that would, when it was first suggested that I be in the band, I wondered how the young people would accept having somebody my age in their marching band.
Yeah, I bet they
But they were phenomenal.
I bet they loved it. And
I also worried about how they would accept my son, who was different. But they loved Patrick because he was just another trumpet player in the band.
He was a really good musician, which is, at the end of the day, is really all we really care about, right?
He was a strong player, but everything came together at the right time for all that to happen. It's truly, truly remarkable.
Yeah.
I was just lucky to be part of it.
That's wonderful. And now, Greg, you are actually working for BO, Bands of America Music for All. Tell us about what you're doing for them.
Well, what I'm doing now is working as part of their event staff, which means that we at each one of the BOA regionals and super regionals, we go from place to place working the event itself, whether it be parking trucks in the lot or working in the flow inside the building to help the kids get from one place to another is all we are. Mm-hmm. This is my fifth event for this year. It's one of those things that we're giving back just a little as part of this volunteer staff that is very special to us all that are working here. I've come to know these folks very well over the last couple of years, and each one of them feel exactly the same, that all of these kids come first. Everything that we do on the side is just secondary. So we give our time freely, truly, across the country to make these events go off without a hitch. As you know, something like here in this event where you have 25,000 kids that are going to come through here over that 2-day period of time. And you cannot do that without some type of a coordination that is second to none. And this group believes heavily in that. Also, their philosophy here at BOA is exactly the same as what mine is, that these children are, we are changing their life by doing this. We are absolutely impacting their life for now on. They will get values that they would have not received in any school anywhere, that life skills that they will learn forever, camaraderie with the other bands. And we passed on the way in here tonight a event that's going on in the conference center next door where 5 or 6 different bands are holding a event in there together. There is no this school, that school. Everybody is just band members together at that event next door. And that's what it's all about. We see it every single day in the parking lots. We see it every day in the tunnels. Kids which are telling each other good luck, not even knowing who these kids are that are passing them in the hallway, because they know that what they have just got through doing on the field is just as tough for the next crew coming through. So they all wish each other good luck at the end of the night. They all pat each other on the back, want to exchange numbers and things of that nature, and they will make friends for the rest of their lives through the programs that BOA has. It's just a phenomenal group of people.
Yeah, we had a great conversation earlier with 3 band directors and their 3 drum majors.
Yes.
And to hear those young people talk about the experience that they have in their own communities being in the band, you know, and then connecting with this national network through Bands of America Music for All. It was really, really, you couldn't have said it better.
Well, I absolutely see it through my 4 children.
Yep.
Wherein the oldest entered in, when she got out of the program itself and entered into college, we are lucky that our school is an old college, so the setting is the same. But the values that she picked up, she continued all the way through college, and all of her siblings did behind her. The youngest one right now is in a music program in West Georgia. And they continue this music love for the rest of their lives. And I see it now in my grandchildren as they come on. My 6-year-old is already picking up a trumpet that his mom played in high school and is already, they're teaching them early. And I think that's an important thing for us to teach them as early as we can. Mm-hmm. And through those 4 children, I see values that they picked up that could have only came from being in the band. Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that they will succeed in their life because of those adventures. And I personally, from being a band member at McEachern myself, know that the teachings of Dr. Ranello when we were there, it was one of those things that you absolutely stay with that band director more hours than you do your own parents through that career in your high school. And those hours are valuable for the education of our kids, to teach them that their future is their own. They can make anything that they want to. And band teaches you that by, if you do not practice, you will not succeed. The same thing in our life. If we do not practice our lives, we will not succeed. So if we do not work hard to get to our goals, we will not make it that way. So it's invaluable what our kids are learning. And for that, I will work at it as long as I'm able to. to keep that type of a spirit alive in our high school programs and in our middle school programs, especially because that's where we grow our kids, is in that middle school program. So as much as I can work going that way, and with BOA, I think I can help with that. It pleases me that over the years, I get to work stagehand for our local event, our local large group performance evaluation. And in that 20 years, I have seen right at 600,000 smiling faces come across the stage. I may not have been able to see the details of their faces, but I knew exactly what they were feeling when they came off of that stage. And the performances over those 20 years is phenomenal, just absolutely phenomenal. We live in a very music-oriented, with the 120,000 kids that we have in the total school district, 36,000 of those kids are involved in music, whether it be through chorus or orchestra or band programs. And those are phenomenal numbers when one out of every three children walking down your hall is involved in music somehow. And we're proud of that fact, and we want to keep that going as long as we can.
Well, the things you've said about the value and benefits of music education for a young person's life, I don't think I could have said it better or heard anyone else say it better. So thank you for
that.
You're
very, very welcome.
So Patrick John Hughes, I think this is a very good choice for an award in your name. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. The more I learn about Mr. Hooper, the more impressed I am at all he does for young people and for music education. It's wonderful to be here and to share.
And to pass the spirit of what you did for your son to another awardee, and Greg Hooper, thank you.
You're very welcome. And Patrick, thank you very much for what you have done for us. It's phenomenal to meet a parent that has sacrificed and done as much for their kids. It makes my heart good to feel all the love that you have given to your kids, and it makes it all worth it.
Thank you very much.
And gentlemen, I want to thank both of you for just ending this day so beautifully and so perfectly. Today, we've talked about so much about the passion we have for music education. And I don't think we could have had a deep and more true and lovely conversation about that passion and how it transcends into service for our families, for our schools, for the field of music education, for all the thousands of kids that are on that field out that door.
Absolutely.
So thank you to both of you, and thank you to our audience that have been with us tonight here from Indianapolis, and for our future listeners on Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.